Okay, thank you so much. Okay, thank you for coming. First of all, today's share, it continues to be for Refu Shleimer, for Yehuda Aryeh Ben Hadassah Idol. And as well, today we add Sarah Reisel, Bas Dvarulea, and she should have Refu Shleimer. They should both have Refu Shleimer, B'Sai Shar Chal Yisrael, Mitz Hashem, and Yitzhak Shmuel Ben Pasha Sara. Also continue to have Jewish layman. In my house, everybody knows that Wednesday night is panic night because I'm always wondering, will I find something to say for the shir that will be good and that people will enjoy? Or is it going to be, you know? And I was in shul yesterday and I saw something that was just marvelous. And from Gamliel Rabinovich, one of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, his brachas are widely sought after, his Torah is widely sought after, and I've never seen anything from it. I ran into his sefer, and thanks to the marvels of technology, I was able to take a picture of it and then print the picture. So I have here to share it with you. So let us begin. And by taking a look in our parsha, we have, you know, the parsha, it's the longest parsha in the Torah, by the way. Okay, it's 176 psukim. And most of it is because of the repetition of the Nesiim, which takes up, I think, 96 psukim. But it's still a long parsha, even after that, and there's so many different things that we talk about. One of the things that we talk about, the primary, which we're going to talk about today, is the interrelationship between the unfortunate mice of the Sota and the Nazir, and why become a Nazir. So we're not going to talk about the Sota itself, we're going to talk about what the preamble, and then the postscript. And we're going to talk about it because it starts with something that Chazal say causes it, and then it moves on to something which Chazal say is the cure. And let's take a look in page 390 in Perek Hey Pasuk Tes. So interesting enough, the Pasuk talks about Truma, about giving to the Kohen, tithing to the Kohen. Chal Truma, I don't know if you use tithing as maybe only meiser, but giving the truma to the kohen. Chal truma l'chal kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yakrivu l'kohen lo yiyah. And the truma that he gives should belong to him. V'ish es kedoshav lo yiyah, ish asher yitin l'kohen lo yiyah. He keeps saying that when he gives it to the kohen, it belongs to him. So the question is, what does that mean, it belongs to him? You're giving it to the kohen. So there are a number of different pshatim and understandings, but one of them I'd like to stress and explain. Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Beis, at the beginning of the story of Sota, Ish Ish Kisisti Ishto, Ma Kosev Lamalam, what does it say? In other words, why does this happen? So it says, the Ish Es Kedoshav Lo Yiyah, Im Ata Ma'akev Matnas HaKohen, if a person does not give truma that he's supposed to give to the Kohen, remember, we have a chiyuv, we have a sacred responsibility to give to the Kohen, because the Kohen was not given land in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kohanim, their job is to be holy for us, and their job is to bring karbonis for us, and to be our intercessors, and they're the people who help us in the, I guess you would put it, in the holy side of our lives, in the Kedusha side. They're there for us, and we have to be there for them. And a person who doesn't bring to the Kohen, says the Rashi, Im ata maka matnas hakohen chayecha, Hashem, so to speak, you know, swears, shetitzuk lav etzel lahavi los asaita. You didn't come to the Kohen to give him his just due, so Nebuch, you're going to end up going to the Kohen when this terrible smisa of the Sota happens. You're going to have to go to the Kohen. You're going to be forced to go to the Kohen because this is going to happen. So the question is, though, it's a very strange combination, like the Kohen, because you didn't go to the Kohen, you're going to have to go to the Kohen here. What is the connection between Matnas Kahuna and this type of unfortunate incident? So as I said before, I wanted to share with you something I saw yesterday in a wonderful sefer by Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz. The name of the sefer is Tiv HaTorah, and it's in Parshas Vayikra. It's not even in our Sedra. The sefer I picked up was on Vayikra, so I was just learning the first part, and it's marvelous. So here's what he says. Let's take a look at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. Let's turn to page 286. Paragalov, Mamsh, the first beginning. Vayikra el Moshe. And Hashem calls out to Moshe, says Rashi, L'chol divros, l'chol amiros, l'chol tzivuyim. And then Rashi tells us, L'chol tzivuim, for all the times when Hashem spoke, kidma kriya, he starts out by saying something nice. Loshen chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just go and start talking. He says, Vayadabra Hashem al-Moshe, Vayikra al-Moshe. He says, Vayikra al-Moshe, he called to Moshe. It's a Loshen of Chiba, says Rashi. And Rashi says, Loshen Shemalachei Asharis Mishtam Shembay. It's the language that the Malachim talk to. Shenemr, it says, Vikara Zelzeh V'Amar, right? We say in Kedusha. Every time we say Kedusha, we say, Kara Zelzeh V'Amar. So the Loshen and the Malachim talk to each other is this Loshen of Kara Zelzeh. They call to each other. So Rashi says, when the Seder Vayikra starts, Vayikra El Maisha, it's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached out to Maisha with a Loshen of Chiba, Loshen of kindness, the lashon of showing interest, the lashon of love. And then he says, Shenemar Karl Zelzev Yomar, Avl Nevi Umas Oilem, but when he talks to the Nevi and the Umas Oilem, meaning Bilam, the Yolem Beloshon Aroi V'tumah, he did just Vayikar Lekim El Golem. It doesn't say Vayikra. So Hashem uses the lashon of endearment, the lashon of chiba, that when he reaches out to Moshe Rabbeinu and we start Sefer Vayikra, we do it with a lashon of chiba, a lashon of endearment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Rashi is teaching a lesson on how to reach out. So he makes a very interesting point. He says, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was an adult. Moshe Rabbeinu was pretty old at this time, right? This is the beginning, so he's in his 80s, he was nifty, he was 120, so he's not a young man. And it says, B'chol Beisi Nemenhu Pel Pel Dabarbay, Moshe Rabbeinu talked to Rabbi Shem all the time. So he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he talked to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was an older person, and was a person who he talked to all the time, and every time he spoke to him, he still used the Lashon of endearment, Lashon of Chiba. So he says, how much more, when we talk to regular people, do we have to make sure, if we want to, you know, make friends and influence people, as Dale said, how much more we have to do that? And he says, and how much more do we have to do it with Talmidim and children? How much more, when we go to a child, do we have to deal with a child in that kind of kindness? We have to learn from Hashem that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with the Moshe Rabbeinu with the Lashon of endearment, the Lashon of Chiba, the Lashon of saying that I love you. So how much more when we go to a child, we go to a friend, do we have to use that Lashon of Chiba? And he says, maybe we know there's a custom that when we start learning Torah with children, and I remember this happened with my sons, my Enoklach. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but they wrap the child in a talus, very, very sweet. You wrap the child in a talus, you bring him into the cheder, the Rebbe puts some honey on his mouth. Right, the haircut. Yeah. And they learn with him. What do they learn with him? Vayikra Moshe. And that's what they learn with him. And you say to yourself, how about Breishis Bara? That's good. Eilu Shemais? You know, there's lots of things. Why do we learn Vayikra Moshe? He says, that's the reason. Because we're teaching the importance of showing endearment to a child. That's the first thing we have to show a child, is endearment, is love. And he brings from the Rambam a beautiful explanation of the Rambam that talks about this. Very interesting. The Rambam is usually, I don't want to say dry, but straightforward. And here the Rambam like waxes eloquent. Shetzrichim l'chalak, says the Rambam, l'ketanim madanim. We have to give them sweets, v'diri masikas, sweet things. K'dei laham shichem l'tara l'mitzvahs, to bring them close to Torah mitzvahs. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael yeshlam chelik l'olam haba. Every Jew has a chelik. We have to show them early on that it's sweet, olam haba. It's going to be, it's like this candy. You're going to love being there. You're going to want to spend your life getting there. Yeshlam chelik l'olam haba. And that itself makes you feel good. He says, why do we have to do this with a child? So yinar kot nevi'u etzel ha-melamed. You bring him to melamed. And the child is not at the level to understand how great the learning he's doing. He's not at the level to understand it. So the Malamed has to give him something to understand sweetness of Torah at his level. So the sweetness of Torah at his level is to give him something sweet. I cannot tell you, I just want to, Mrs. Salem is not here, but we had a Siyum Mishnayos where we had Kanainahar over 1,000 children come. And there are about, on the head table, there's 1,000 children in the room, imagine the scene. And the head table is about 20 to 30 boys who've learned all of Mishnayos for their bar mitzvah. And I cannot, she said, you wouldn't believe how many kids she got calls from afterwards saying, I want to be up there in 4 years. when I become bar mitzvah, I want to be at that head table. I want to be there. What do I got to do to start learning? Because they saw the masikas, the sweetness. Maybe at their level, at 9 years old, they didn't understand what you're accomplishing with all of that Torah. But they did understand how it's going to feel good sitting up front, how the sweetness of Torah. So you have to give it over in that way. He says, therefore, that's why we do it in that way in order to entice children. And he brings, interesting, that says when Rabbah used to start a shir, so he always started off with what's called the milsa b'chusa, something light, like a light vort, a light geshmaka thing. He says, and the Rabbanah would laugh, and then they would start learning it with the aim of b'yir b'resus b'ziyah. And then he takes it to another level. He says something very interesting. He says, the Balaturim says, if you take a look at the words v'yikra al-maisha, the Rashi Tevis, the first letter is the word imai, mother. Because he says that that's the job of the mother to give over to the child that Masikas Atara. When she gives him, she says, it says, Batara Shiitra Lo Imai, with the Atara, that it says, Bachelimel, the Atara Shiitra Lo Imai, she gave him that Atara, she gave him that sweetness of the Torah. And the Rebbeinu speaks to Maish Rabbeinu, so to speak, like a mother who gives over the sweetness of Torah to the child, and gives over the sweetness of life to a child, and gives him that Cheshik of doing it. So that's what he says. So I was thinking that that might be the reason is why, unfortunately, this marriage came to grief that we find in our parsha, the parsha of Saita. Because maybe she wasn't treated with that kind of chiba, wasn't treated with that kind of ava, and therefore felt the need to go elsewhere to find that kind of an ava. And where does that start with? Just like the person has the relationship with the kayin. He goes to the kayin. And he doesn't want to give the kayin, because probably got into a fight with the kayin. Why doesn't he want to give him? He probably got some sort of fight. Or he did not know how to interact with another person. So if he could not interact with a kohen, and remember the kohanim are going to be the sweetest people in the world because they're in charge of ruchnias. You can't have a fight with them about gashmias because they're not involved with that. So he had that type of poor interaction. He's unfortunately going to see it coming in other places, and that's what I think it means. If the person doesn't give truma to the kayin, and it's not just because he's a kar gabriya that he doesn't want to give it, but because he has a problem with interacting, a problem with showing chiba, a problem with interrelating, that problem is going to manifest itself in his marriage as well. So the Torah tells us this important inyan, the important inyan of having to relate and to have chiba, and to show endearment, to show ava. And when a person shows ava, as we know, we don't have time to say the whole vort, but we know kemayim haponim leponim kein lev ha'adam la'adam. When a person, just like a person looks into the water and they see the reflection, look in the mirror, you see reflection. So we're like that with each other. So if somebody walks into a room and says a nice good morning to you, you're immediately going to be more receptive to whatever he says after that, whether it's good or bad. But if a person walks in with an angry face and looks like they're, you know, about to level you, your defenses right away come up, and you go into battle mode right away. So the Torah tells them, Rebbeinu taught us an awesome, by Yikra El Maisha, Imai, like the mother who knows how to talk to the child. Hashem spoke to a Maisha Rabbeinu, and therefore that's something that we can learn a lesson as we move into this difficult parsha, but we can see what can avoid this difficult parsha is learning how to interact and how to deal with Ava and with Chiba. So we talked about this inyan of that the person comes to it, and then what happens? We have the person becomes a nazir. Afterwards, we have the parsha nazir, and the Chazal tell us the famous dictum of Chazal: Lom and Nisim of the parsha's nazir, the parsha's saita. Why are they together? Lom and Luchot to tell us shekala raya saita b'kukula. Anybody who sees a saita, who is to be affected, yazir atzmanayin. He should may become a nazir, and that way he'll be able to maintain his kedusha. He won't be affected by it. So he says like this. It says this from Rav Galinsky. He says, "Asad Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasa atar lechol tzaddik v'tzaddik," that in the future Hashem's going to make an atar, a crown for every tzaddik. And he says there are two types of tzaddikim. What does it mean lechol tzaddik v'tzaddik? Hashem's going to make a crown for every tzaddik. It means there are two types of tzaddikim. He says from Rashi, brings Rashi. He says, "What's the two types of tzaddikim?" Says one tzaddik is called a roide es yitzray, says Chazal. One is somebody who rules over his yitzhara, and the other is misgaber al yitzra. It's a higher madrega of he is misgaber. He transcends his yitzhara. What's the difference between the two? Rashi says a roide be yitzro shabayit be yitzro. He kicks it. If a chayz b'tshuva min aver, he doesn't do the aver. What's Ms. Gabriel Yitzro? Somebody transcends it? That he doesn't just go to stop doing the Avera, but he uses that as a catalyst to bring himself to greater Kedusha, to take the Yetzirah and make the Yetzirah his primary, to see the error of his ways and actually do something good with it. So it's not true. You know, you see some people start whole organizations that they did something, and then they start an organization because of it, and other people just, you know, they get past it, and that's it. So he says, his question was like this. So he says, okay, so that's where we have to do this. We have to transcend it. He says, but let's apply this to the interaction with the Nazir. And he says, he asks a question. He says, what does the Nazir do? He stops drinking wine. Okay. They're psukim to tell us how, I remember, those of us old enough, remember demon rum, you know? If you ever learn about prohibitions, the demon rum, you know, the preachers used to talk about demon rum, that, you know, getting drunk, Nebuchadnezzar, is not a good thing. There's a chazal, the Pesuk in Mishlei, that says, Kol ha'noisin eina b'kais, somebody puts his eyes, ki yitin b'kais eino, somebody puts his eyes on the cup, yishal me'sharm, he'll go in a good way, meaning everything to him will be good. He can't, there's no barriers. Once a person gets drunk, it's a wonderful thing. And to him, the person is drunk. So it's on the one hand, we find psukim say how awful drinking is, and that the person can go down from getting chas v'shalom. On the other hand, a lot of our religion is based on wine. A lot of the psukim say how good wine is. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. It can make a person happy. It can make a person joyous. It can make him freilich. So, what?
Yosef's problem.
Right, that's right. Chachlila yain michalov. Yeah, so we're a little conflicted. As wine, you know, on the one hand we're being yatzar, we're taking ourselves away from wine. On the other hand, we're saying, wow, it's good. You know, gotta be kiddush. Let's go buy a nice bottle of wine. Right? What do we give as a present? You come to somebody's house, you buy him some wine. So, you know, what's going on here? Why do we have to yatzar miyayin? And furthermore, so what would you say? So I have an idea. So he says, so let's say you'll want to, you know, because why? What's wrong with wine? Because one of the things they tell her is you drank a lot of wine and you did foolish things with it. So don't drink a lot of wine. Say, I'll only drink one cup. So I'll drink one cup, will be good. I won't drink more than that. Now that already, I don't know if it's a good kasha. You can talk to anybody from Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll tell you once you get into it, you're finished. You're not going to be able to get over it. So how do we understand this relationship? What is going on here? Why does he become a nozer? Why is that the specific thing that it makes a person that when he sees such an aveira, he should go away from it, and he should go. So he, listen to a story, wonderful pshat from the Chazon Ish. Says, as many of the stories do, the Panavish of Rav Nebuch lost everything that he had in Europe, and he had built Meister Satar in Europe. And this is an amazing story. Panavish of Rav is an amazing story. Panavish of Rav was like, never gave up. He had a Talmud Torah in Poland, in the Litta. He had Yeshiva Katana, he had Yeshiva Gedoyla, he had a Kailu, he had a girls' school. He had thousands and thousands of students in all of his schools. And Nebuch, it was all destroyed. Panavish of Rav comes to Eretz Yisrael, and unbelievably, he rebuilds the whole thing. He comes back and he's unbowed. And when he came to Eretz Yisrael already, it was after the war, he was sick. He was already sick and he was older, but he never stopped. And he never gave up, and his spirits never flagged. It sounds like, if you've ever seen pictures, he's always smiling. Like it sounds like, I think, you know, having a good sense of humor it keeps you alone for a long time, because if you hear his jokes, he had a very good sense of humor. The Panavish of Rav, he was always smiling, he felt good about life, he was accomplishing, he did, it was amazing. But one thing, he says, got him down. And he came to the Chazon Ish to ask what to do. He says he came back, the way he puts it in his lyrical way, Kishechazim Imas, he came back from his trip, Vein Chatzi Tavasa B'yado, half his taiva was in his hands, meaning he didn't raise as much money as he hoped to. And he's driving from the airport back to Bnei Brak. He's not driving, he's being driven. And he passes a certain university. And there's a gigantic campus going up at that time, beautiful buildings. And then, you know, for enough money, you can buy whatever you want if you deal with NYU. You know, NYU became now Langone. I never knew who Langone is. It's a Yid who gave, must have given, I can't imagine how much money he gave to actually have it, not a pavilion, but Langone. So he says, and there's a big sign with some Gvir's name on top of it. And he's so depressed. He comes to Chazon Ish. He says, I don't understand, Rebbe. Explain to me. I have to run around to hundreds of people. I have to schwitz for every dollar, you know, penny by penny. You know, I'm trying to build my meisness over here. And they over here by the university, they get one big donor. And he says, and they, in one donor, and he builds the whole thing. He says, what are they going to do over there? He says, they're going to learn zoology, lezech and nishmasa. He says, well, I mean, you know, okay, you have to have university, but why does it go so easy? Why does it go hard by me? Listen to what the Chazon Ish said. It was marvelous. So Chazon Ish tells him like this. And this is why I asked you before what the word tamru was. It says that when the person Nebuch who killed somebody, Retzeach B'Shagig, so there used to be tamrurim, there were signs every mile saying this way to the miklat. Go this way, go that way, you're going to go to the miklat. Okay. So he says, on the other hand, he says, I don't understand. He says, when you went to the Beis HaMikdash, there were no tamrurim. There were no signs. No, there was no sign that said Beis HaMikdash, 30 kilometer. And he says, HaMikdash avur ole haregel. Remember, people are coming to the Beis HaMikdash. They're coming from outside. They didn't live in Yerushalayim. They're from all over the place. They didn't have, believe it or not, there was a time before GPS and Waze and these things. None of us remembers. We're too young. But there was such a time. Yeah, and they had animals, right? They're walking with their animals. They're walking with their mishpachas, right? And they can't find it. And there's no signs. And not only that, it's us. You're not supposed to put up a sign. What does the pasuk say? It says, "El hamakim, go el hamakim, ashiyivcha Hashem elokeichem. Go to the place Hashem your God has chosen. Lasum eshmai sham, to put His name there. Lishichno sidrashu. Ask your neighbor who bought the sham, and that's where you're going to go. A pasuk in Devarim, paired yud base pasuk hey." And the Ramban says, "Lishichno sidrashu shetelchei lo meretz merchakim v'tishlo on the derech base Hashem." You should ask, "Where's the base Hashem?" So he says, "Why is that?" He explains, because there's a difference. He says, when people go and ask directions, you get into a conversation, right? You get into a conversation. Have you ever had that? You're standing on Broadway, and somebody comes up and says, "Where's such and such a thing?" I'm a magnet for people who want kosher restaurants. From Israel, they always ask, "Where's the kosher?" Where they figure, "Where's the restaurant?" So you say, "Oh, where are you from?" "I'm from Tel Aviv." "Where are you from?" You get friendly. So he says, when Hashem wanted that when you're going to the Beis HaMikdash, that the people who are oil the regal should excite the other people who are sitting there. And when they ask them directions, the person says, go into the white to their house and say to their spouse or the kids, "We really should go to the Beis HaMikdash too. This is the right thing to do." And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want signs. He wants you to have to ask. So the more you ask, the more people will come. It'll be as we spoke about the other week, about the matzah bread, the chametz bread in Muncie. I felt like it was Aliyah L'Regel. People coming from all over, and everybody's frailuk, and everybody's happy. So that'll give a feeling of, it's exciting, everyone's going to Aliyah L'Regel, and they're going, and they're talking to each other, and they're asking, and everybody's... He says, on the other hand, do you want to admit you just killed somebody? Somebody's going to come over and say, "Where's the Yermiklet?" "Oh, you want the Yermiklet, huh? What did you do?" So that's very embarrassing for a person. So he says, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Dafka over there and not over there. So he says, that's what it says by Shmuel HaNavi. It says in Shmuel, it says that Elchanan used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, Hannah and Penina's husband, and he used to go. It says that the Pasuk says every year, the Chazal say every year he went in a different way, because he should take people and convince them that they should go to the Beis HaMikdash. Vice, it wasn't so simple. So said the Chazon Ish, that's the difference over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that every single person you're going to talk to, you're going to tell him a little Dvar Torah, you're going to warm his heart to Torah. He says for the university's got to be built, because you need the knowledge there, but that's not what excites the Ribbono Shel Olam. He'll get you one donor, he'll take care of it, and we build a building that you need to build for the tzibur needs to have this building, so you're going to build. But to go for Torah, you have to get, everybody has to be involved in Torah, and that's the difference between the two. He brings in the Chofetz Chaim, just talking about Agav, he says the Chofetz Chaim, why does Talmud Chacham wants to sit and learn? He says, why would somebody like the Panavish of Rav leave his base medrash, leave his learning, close the Gemara, and get up and go build a Maisid of Torah? Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's a bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a pasuk in Tillim that says in Perek Yud Kuf Yud Aleph pasuk, "Hey, Terif Nosan L'Reyav." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Terif. The word Terif comes from a Maturaf, somebody who's a little bit mishuga, says terror, if he gave insanity to his yireyim, to those that fear him, that they should want to do things like this and build Torah. Even though it's such a hard thing to build Torah, he wanted to do it. So he says, with this I understood a Gemara. He says, Im rayin anoshim sha'il l'regel, mistaglin rayin haliyah. He says, l'regel. People see somebody going to the regel, they want to be part of the regel. By the same token, if people are exposed to something like the maisa from the saita, that's what will attract them. So he says, therefore, the person has to go and he has to transcend that. He has to go beyond that. He has to be able to not make that who he is, but to go past that. And he says, that's the difference between a raida b'yitzray and a mezgabel yitzray. Raida b'yitzray, we said, is somebody who just takes his yitzhar and says, I'm not doing it. That would be somebody who stops drinking wine. But somebody who wants to grow from that becomes a nazir. He doesn't just say, okay, I won't take a drink today. Today I won't take a drink, but tomorrow I will. He goes, he becomes a nazir, kaddish l'Hashem, he becomes kaddish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stops being tami l'mason. He becomes a holy person. He uses it to grow, not just to go away from what he was before. And with this he says a great pshat in a Gemara that we've learned 1,000 times. It's the famous story. It's a Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Tesam at base. It says, Pambo Nozer min Hadorim, one time a Nozer came from the south to bring a carbon to Zerus and to take Erekat. And he says that along came, who was it that the story happened with? Shimon HaTzadik. So Shimon HaTzadik says to him, Amarti, I said to Bini Maris Lishtach Lashkit Sarek. He said, no, why did you cut off? You had beautiful hair. He's walking in, he's got nice, beautiful, long hair. And he says to him, why do you want to cut this beautiful hair off? So what do we know? We all know the Gemara. So says I was a, he says I was a shepherd. Raya Hayisi La'aba Be'iri, I was a shepherd to my father in the city. Halachti Lamalos Mayim Min Hamayim, I went to fill up water from the well. V'niskalti Ba'Babu Shalit, I saw my reflection. U'pachas Ala Yitzri U'bikish L'Tardeni Min Oilam, and my Yitzhar came and wanted to take me away from this world. Amarti Lo, I said to my Yitzhar, Russia, Lamata Misgai Ba'Oilam Sheva Shalcha, why are you doing this? And I decided I'm not going to give him to my Yitzhahara, I'm going to cut off my hair, and I'm going to become a Nazir. So it says, Rav Shimon HaTzadik, Miyad Amaritun Shakti Varosha, I kissed him on his head, Amarti Lo Bonai Bini, my son, Kamaycha Yirba Nazir Nizirus B'Yisrael. So what's the story? The story was that he wanted to cut off his hair. So you asked the kashas. What happened over here? He said, I looked in the well, I saw my hair, my Yetzirah wanted to get hold of me by how handsome I am, so I decided to become a Nazir. Now what's the halacha by Nazir? A Nazir grows his hair for 30 days and cuts it off at the end. So he says, what should have been his answer? Oh, my hair is no too long, let me go take a haircut. Yeah, right. He should have cut off his hair right away. Instead, what if he becomes a Nazir? That means he's not cutting his hair for 30 days. The answer is exactly this. He wanted to grow. He realized, if I just cut off my hair, I've only accomplished one thing. I cut off my hair. But I'm the same person I was before. Whereas if I'm going to go become a Nazir, I'm going to make myself into a holy person. I'm going to elevate myself. I'm going to transcend who I was. That's already a person. That's great. So he says, we have two ways of reacting to when we see something that we shouldn't see. One way is to just, I'm not going to look. The other way is to say, I to take this as a way of pushing me into making myself even more, into trying to grow. I'm going to use this as a samal of growing, of growth, and that'll be the difference. I won't be a raya b'yitzri, I'll be a miskabra b'yitzri. And that's the difference between, he says, that's why. A raya saita b'kukulo, don't just let it go. They just, okay, I'm not going to look, I'm not, nothing to do with it. Yaza atzman yayin, grow, become even more. So don't just do the minimum, don't just say, okay, I won't drink any wine today. I'm going to become a nazir, I'm going to become something that's even more. I'm going to make myself into something special. Okay, got time for one last little thing here. And this is very interesting. Also, a wonderful thing. It says in the Pasuk, if you take a look, let's take a look in Perek Zion, Pasuk Chavdalah. And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, I've got to go find them different right here. Pasuk Chavdalah. Okay, at the end of this parasha, so what does it tell us? It tells us the Yerech, where is it? Yerech Hashem Yishmerecha. is it? Yor Hashem Panav Elech, Yimnech Yisra Hashem Panav Elech, Yasa B'chol Shom. Is that the beginning over here? Here, I'm sorry. Pasuk Chav Dalet, yeah, Perek Vav, not Zayin. What does the Pasuk say? Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha, we give the Birchas Kahanim that we just had on Shavuos, one day. We had the 2 days of Birchas Kahanim. Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha, and Yisrael, they have one day, but they have Birchas Kahanim the whole year. So says the Chassam Sofer, based on a Chazal that says everything that they said was telling us something. Yirech Hashem Yishmecha. What's Yivarecha? Says Chazal Ba'oishter, with wealth. Hamamin Hamishumer Mikol Pega. You can have wealth that's going to go, and it's not going to be. You're not going to lose it. Vishmerecha, Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, Vatzlachaz lo Tigra Kina, Vitzaras Ayin, your Hatzlacha will not have any kina, won't have any jealousy in it. Vichuneka, there'll be chain from Hashem in everything that you do, you'll be happy with your Aisher. Vyasim Lecha Shalom, you'll have Shalom, and it'll be beautiful. Everything, you'll have all money, you'll have health, you'll have wealth, you'll have time to enjoy it, all be beautiful. He says, but that's emptiness. If that's all you have, they're going to be a very empty person. You need the rest of the bracha. The Samu Hashem, Hashem says, I'm going to put my shchina upon you. There has to be a ruchniyistika component. If a person just has good food at night and he has good food in the morning, he ultimately feels emptiness. Everybody's looking for meaning in life. And for Kert, the people who get all the money have the hardest time with it because they realize they don't have it. So when you don't have money, so you look, if I have more money, I'll have happiness. When you have all that money and you have everything that you want, you suddenly realize an emptiness. And those are the people who are always looking for more ruchnis or something to be there for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only do you have to have the brachas, all these wonderful brachas which will give you wealth and health and everything, but Shmi Hashem, said the Chassam Sofer, you have to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it. So he says, he explains something very interesting. It says, if you go back into, all the way back into Sefer Bereishis, into Parshas Bereishis, into the klala that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon. We always go back, always goes back to Adam HaRishon. So what does it say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's page 12, Ula Adam Amar, Ki Shamati Lekol Yishtecha, you listen to your wife, Atayfel Min Eitz, so you're going to get it. So it's interesting, by the Nachash, he curses the Nachash. By Adam, he doesn't curse Adam, he curses the ground. The kites v'darta tatzmiach, look, and you're going to have all sorts of thorns and thistles, and you have to work hard. You're going to have to, work very hard. You're going to have b'zeyas apecha teichel lechem, and all of these things. But there's a problem here. So Hashem said, and it seems to be part of the klala, that Hashem said you're going to have to do hard work to make your food. Except there's a problem. Because Hashem was mevatel that almost immediately. The death kept going. But to go for food, to go in all that hard work, you know where it didn't happen? In the Dora Mabel. It says in the Dora Mabel, it says like this, they used to plant one time, and it would work for 40 years. So what's the pshat? It's like a tree. You plant a tree, you don't have to plant it every year. But it was like that with all the fruits. So he says, L'chayra, the misa, only misa was the gezerah. This was not the gezerah. It didn't stay forever. And we find in the time of the Midbar they didn't have to do it. So we find two times in history where this did not apply. Even nowadays it doesn't really apply. I mean, because, we've sort of gotten around a little bit. So he says, what's the pshat? What's going on over here? So he brings from the Rabbi Chanan Vasser brings a Zohar that the Zohar says that when it says Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we're going to make man in our image, he said a B'Loshan Rabbim. Says the Zohar, Kol HaBriya Kulay, the whole Bria was made in man. They all contributed to man. So it says he got his Gvura, our strength from the lion. We got our weakness from the sheep. We got our chutzpah from the nomer, from the leopard. We got from the different types of things. He got from the, he says, Bogdanus, from the chatul, from the cat. What's Bogdanus? something. From all these, and the amenas, we got loyalty from the caliph. Akshonis from the chamor. We got to be stubborn from the chamor. There's everything we got. All of the different animals, right? We're like a zoo, you know? Everybody is their own zoo. So he says, so let me ask you, he says, there's two ways in which you can take a zoo and keep all the animals from running away. One is to train them, and one is to restrain them. One is to, you know, put up shields, to put up walls, to put up gates, fences, and the other one is to domesticate them, right? So he says, that's really what it's all about with us. Chazal tells us, Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah is good with Derech Eretz. What does that mean? That means that a person has to do something with their time. And they're either going to do Derech Eretz with the time and work, or they're going to do Torah with their time. I remember Victor Miller, somebody once asked him if he should work overtime. So he says, it depends. If you're going to go to the Beis Medrash and you're going to learn, or you're going to go home and learn with your children, or you're going to do some chesed, of course you should. He said, but if you're going to sit in front of the television, keep working. You know, this, as he said, is in the middle style, right? So he says that the taiva is, he brings from Ibrahim, he brings that, he says the biggest parish, the biggest tzaddik in the mirror was the baker. He says the biggest parish, he was the holiest person. Why? Because he used to bake a whole night. And he'd come home in the morning, he'd fall like a log into bed. He had no time for Averis. The man was busy. So he says, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us two things in life. So he says, before, when Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, it's great, in Gan Eden, where he was so holy, so he didn't need to work, because he was busy with holiness, busy Kedusha the whole time. He says, but when he got thrown out of Gan Eden, so he wasn't going to be on that level of Kedusha. So he says, this is not a klola. This was a help to Adam HaRishon. He's saying, Hashem says to him, you're no longer on that level. You got two choices, Adam. Either you're going to continue to try to be holy like before, or you're going to know what's going to happen is you're going to better work hard, because that's going to keep you from doing Averis. So he says, what happens is Chazal tell us that why did he do this with the Dor HaMabul? Because he wanted to give them the Torah. That the Torah and the Tikkun should come already with the Dor HaMabul. But they messed up. They didn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't handle it. So what happened? Next available position was the Dor HaMidbar. That the Dor HaMidbar did not have that, and therefore the Dor HaMidbar was able to accomplish what they did, because, as we say, Ein Nitna Torah L'Oyech HaAmon. If you're going to get busy with Torah, you're going to be busy with Chesed, Hashem will take the other things away from you. It's very, very interesting. When a person's very busy and doing something, they forget about their pain and their aches and pains. Right? When do you remember them? When you go to bed at night, you just lay down, and all of a sudden you're busy the whole day, you forgot all about it, and then you remember that your foot hurts and your ear hurts and this hurts and that. What happened? Because you had time to think about it. So as long as you weren't thinking about it, you were able to do all your good stuff. So he says that's the same thing with Torah. As long as a person is busy with Torah, with Chesed, you don't got to worry about it. He'll be busy. He'll keep busy with that. If not, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you this, you're busy with that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a wonderful bracha. Yirech Hashem, Yishmerach, Yor Hashem, Banim Lech, Yinei, Yisrael Hashem, Banim Lech. But when? The Sama Shmi, only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on it. If not, keep busy.
What was the tie-in to the animals? What was that tie-in?
What
was the tie-in to the animals?
Just turn on this. This one.